Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The BU F-File, the ultimate Bills podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
From NewYorkUpstate.com, let's talk Bills and do so with Matthew Fairburn. You find him on Twitter, at Matthew Fairburn. Matthew, we got to go back to last Thursday night to look at the Bills game. What's the level of frustration right now sitting back for Bills fans and sitting at 0-2?
Yeah, I mean, I've been covering, this is my third season covering the Bills, and I would say frustration is at an all-time high since I've been here. It's tough. You know, especially you wake up Friday morning, if you're a Bills fan, the season is 5 days old and it already seems like there's zero hope of this team making the playoffs. The 0-2 start, not just an 0-2 start, but how they looked doing it, completely inept on offense in week one and completely inept on defense in week two. So really this team, I mean, it's hard to say that it isn't, you know, a bit of a crisis at One Bills Drive, as much as, you know, Rex Ryan and some of the players are trying to spin it as everything being fine and, you know, they still have 14 weeks and yada, yada, yada. They're 0-2 and they're not playing good football. And there's really very few bright spots that you can point to on this roster right now. So fans are extremely frustrated as I've ever seen them, and they have every reason to be.
When you look at it, you just pointed it out here in this week two contest, the you know, the defense not getting it done, but the offense getting it done. It, again, frustration to see Tyrod Taylor with three touchdowns, almost 300 yards passing, you know, add a couple of scampers on the ground as well, and come away with nothing. So we can talk about the offense in a moment, but the defensive side of things, what did you see that you point the finger at and say, this is where things fell apart?
Yeah, you know, it was crazy because in week one, the Bills defense was rock solid against Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens, which, you know, not the best offense in the NFL by any means, but a pretty good one, an experienced quarterback with a decent stable of weapons, and the Bills were able to pressure him. They were able to cover pretty well, held him to 13 points, and I thought had a good effort. You go into week two against Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy that Rex Ryan has dominated over the years, and Fitzpatrick throws for 374 yards, the most he's ever thrown for against Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan allows, you know, close to 500 yards of total offense, 37 points, 100 yards on the ground, three rushing touchdowns for Matt Forte. I mean, it was a brutal performance, and the best thing I can point to is that the Bills were not able to cover. And that was the biggest red flag for me, because Stephon Gilmore and Ronald Darby are supposed to be one of the best cornerback tandems in the NFL. Rex Ryan will never waste any time telling you that. Darby and Gilmore have said that on multiple occasions. And then on a national stage, when they have a chance to prove it, you know, guys like to talk about how players in Buffalo don't get enough respect. Stephon Gilmore has said he thinks that's why he doesn't get more respect, because he plays in a small market. Well, here you go. You've got a national stage, a nationally televised game on Thursday night, and you get lit up. I mean, they let the combined, they allowed 13 catches for over 200 yards between Gilmore and Darby. That was reason number one why the defense couldn't get anything going, because it's hard to send extra pressure when your cornerbacks can't hold up in coverage. And also the defense was on the field constantly because the offense, you know, wasn't sustaining drives. Other than a few long passes, the offense couldn't sustain drives, so the defense was on the field the whole night. So, I mean, yeah, they're missing some key pieces. Marcell Dareus is out, and they're missing their top two draft picks. But Darby and Gilmore are supposed to be a lot better than they were on Thursday night.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that front seven. And to your point, you don't believe that they were able to push forward and try to disrupt things because they were getting burned in the secondary. And we know those two things go hand in hand. If you've got if you're strong in one spot, it frees up the other. And they weren't able to get either of those going with any kind of rhythm, Matthew.
No, they really weren't. And, you know, like I said, week one, they were able to put some pressure on Joe Flacco and get after him a little bit. I thought Jerry Hughes had a pretty decent game against the Jets at times and started to get in there. But basically right away, Ryan Fitzpatrick was just picking on the Bills' corners. And it was situations where I don't know – you know, why more quarterbacks haven't done it, but Ryan Fitzpatrick just had the guts to go directly at Stephon Gilmore in one-on-one coverage or directly at Ronald Darby in one-on-one coverage. And almost every time the Jets came down with the ball, which was crazy to me. And so as that continues to happen, you can't send more pass rush than you already are because, you know, Rex Ryan's defense is predicated on, you know, those corners being able to hold up on an island. When they can't do that, it affects everything. So the scheme starts to fall apart at that point. And, you know, obviously it's a trend that the Bills hope doesn't continue because they've kind of built their defense around those corners and around the pass rush. And now, you know, neither one is there. And, oh, by the way, the Arizona Cardinals are coming to town with Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Michael Floyd. I mean, David Johnson, you know, have fun defending those guys if you can't defend Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And I saw Rex Ryan's quotes, you know, talking to the media, you know, early this week, you know, as of the time that we record this. And I thought it was an interesting Rex Ryan spin, if you will, saying this might be the exact team we need to play. Talking about the idea of playing the Cardinals and the Patriots back to back. You know, he says it might be the best team in the league. So maybe this is exactly who we need to play. Is he trying to challenge his players? Is he just nuts that he wants to play the Cardinals and Patriots back to back? What do you chalk it up to, Matthew?
Yeah, I think I would never argue with anybody who says Rex Ryan is nuts at this point. And I think it's one of those things where this team is in such a tailspin that maybe Rex Ryan thinks the fact that they get to play two of the best teams in the NFL in the next 2 weeks is just what they need, in the sense that Rex Ryan thinks he can shut some people up if they play the Arizona Cardinals, you know, and beat them in week three or beat the Patriots in week four. You know, just what they need to sort of change the perception about their team, maybe build some confidence by beating a great team. But let's face it, you know, a team playing the way the Buffalo Bills are playing shouldn't be, you know, gearing up to play a team like the Arizona Cardinals. I think what would be preferable would be to play, you know, a more beatable opponent to get that confidence back. I kind of see where Rex Ryan is coming from, but, and, you know, the other part of this is that it's not like they can change it. They don't get to pick who they play in week three, so you might as well embrace it. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, when Rex Ryan says things, they just come out in a funny way, and I think that's what happened today.
What's your expectation and prediction for Sunday, the home game against the Cardinals?
I have a hard time seeing the Bills beat the Cardinals, and it's funny. At the beginning of the year, when I went through and picked every game on the schedule, I didn't have the Bills with a winning record, but I did have them beating the Cardinals, just thinking that, you know, with the long week to prepare and with the Cardinals having to come all the way across the country and play in Buffalo, that maybe they had a shot. I still think they have a shot. I mean, this is the NFL. There's more parity than people think on a weekly basis. And it's just tough to see them pulling it out, you know, with a new offensive coordinator in, you know, with Anthony Lynn, and trying to, you know, get the offense on the same page in just 10 days to me, it seems like a bit of a pipe dream. And the way the defense played against Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can bet that Carson Palmer and all those guys were watching film on that and kind of licking their chops. So I think the Bills are probably going to lose this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was pretty ugly.
We get a chance to catch up with the Bills with Matthew Fairburn, NewYorkUpstate.com on Twitter, at Matthew Fairburn. Matthew, appreciate the time, as always, and for getting us your perspective on Buffalo. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
Here goes Matthew. Up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of six or seven different coordinators, therefore six or seven basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got two games under Carson Wentz's belt and two wins. Granted, one against Chicago, one against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule makers certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, you know, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, this Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable, the good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple of weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here, and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league, and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl runs. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know, and when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good, but they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. And the fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and send them, you know, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense. Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. It's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay. They like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top-10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that clearly that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top-10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress, and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out Deal Score that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, it's great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you've followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrelle Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrelle Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right, final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off, because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.